The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
November 11th, our nation pays respect to Veterans Day.
A day when we honor our military veterans and thank them for their service with solemn ceremonies and festive parades.
It's a proud day filled with meaning for everyone who has served.
The great-grandfather at Iwo Jima, low crawling in volcanic ash.
The uncle who overcame fear for his own life, fighting an unseen enemy in the jungles of Vietnam. The sister on the streets of Baghdad during civil affairs missions.
The friend scanning the valley below for the enemy from a mountaintop in Afghanistan.
Even higher still, the neighbor who patrols the skies.
Veterans Day is a time to hear the stories of combat and sacrifice from those who served our country. And each has a powerful story to tell.
We have another story to share with you. It's also a story of honor, integrity, and sacrifice.
Thousands of civilian volunteers, some without any direct connection to the military, are giving their time, effort, and resources in support of our veterans every day.
The World War II Memorial here in Washington, D.C. is the center of a grassroots effort happening all across this country. Volunteers for the Honor Flight Network want to make sure World War II veterans get a chance to experience this monument built in their honor.
Volunteers help Vietnam veterans get the welcome home they so richly deserve, like here at Fort Campbell, Kentucky.
Skilled volunteers help the charity Homes for Our Troops. Build brigades help lay the foundations for free homes to wounded veterans.
Colleges and universities all across the country partner with Department of Veterans Affairs to get veterans a quality education through benefits they've earned.
There are almost 100,000 volunteers across the country
who help take care of and connect with veterans in VA medical centers and facilities.
Thousands of American volunteers just like you are helping veterans in numerous ways. You can help too, and it's easy.
If you'd like to learn how to bring veterans into your classroom, or how to volunteer at VA medical centers across the country,
or volunteer with veteran service organizations like we've outlined here,
visit our website at www.va.gov/OPA/VetsDay.
Imagine the stories you will hear and the stories you will become part of.
Let's make every day Veterans Day, because we can never thank them enough.
The end of yesterday's show, guys, I urged each of you to reach out to someone you know who is a veteran. I told you my own personal story of a good friend that I have a very passive-aggressive hate-love relationship with, really good friend for many years. He crawled out under enemy fire. He was a radio man, and he crawled out to get the radio to call in air support. He saved the lives of his entire patrol, and he was awarded the Bronze Star for that, which is a great honor. But the honor is in that he sacrificed his life for others. Does that sound familiar? So whoever you know that's a veteran, maybe they weren't in a combat situation, but the sheer fact that they served in the military put them in a place where they could have been. Or maybe you know someone who really was. So today, Veterans Day, take a moment to pick up the phone or walk across the street or drive across town, whatever that means to you, and let that veteran know that you appreciate the sacrifices that they made on your behalf, for your freedom, for your right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Roll tape.
Are you ready, Steve?
Uh-huh.
Andy?
Yeah!
Bert? Well, all right, fellas. Well, let's go!
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length where we discuss all things E-Mini along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today's Friday, 11th day of November, 2011. Also known as 11-11-11. The Dow's up 272 points. S&P is up 25. The comp is up 54. Looking at world markets, surprising. The DAX up 3.3%. The CAC up 2.7%. The FTSE up 3.6%. As you know, we've had nothing but worries out of the Eurozone, and today, stunning. Dead cat bounce? I don't know. We'll see. Has anything been fixed long-term? Not that I'm aware of. I'm not a big news hound, so maybe something did. I'm just going to leave it at that. I report the numbers. I don't create them. Okay, Michael is out today taking care of some issues. Again, it is Veterans Day. Reach out to a veteran that you know and thank them for their service to our country. Okay? It will mean more to them than you might think. Oh, that grumpy old guy, he could care less. No, trust me. If he served, he cares. And your words would mean much to him or her on this day. Now, Michael's not here, so we're not going to do the video recap of the morning's action that we normally do. He'll probably do one later, just to keep the record straight on the website. But there was only one trade, and it was break-even. And it had to do, well, there was another trade that I, but it wasn't an official trade. I just pointed it out. And anyway, the market had this bullish momentum behind it where it was just climbing. And so when it's going in one direction and one direction only, it makes it difficult for us to get into a trade. Most of our trades are based on a pullback. Okay. Now, the one trade that I pointed out and that did do what we had expected it to do, I'll show you, was right here. We were taking, because we couldn't get a good pullback entry, we took advantage of the bullish momentum right here on the smaller time frame chart, which created an entry at 12103. And we said with this momentum and the fact that the ES is headed to the next weekly zone, the Dow should get to the next weekly zone. And so it did. It went to 135. So that created a 32 point trade. Okay. Equivalent to 3 points in the ES. Very good trade. Nothing at all wrong with that. Okay. Now, we've been at this weekly zone, 6162. For a while. We've traded in this area 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 200, about 300,000 contracts. Okay, that's a lot. Is this the top? Well, I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say this. I'm going to say that the Dow is up 272 points, the S&P is up 25 points. If the markets could just stay here, to the end of the day, this is a quasi-holiday. I mean, it's a full-blown holiday because of the veterans. Banks are closed. The postman will not ring twice. But the markets are open. So, and there is participation. And we did have a huge bullish move. But do we go higher? I don't see that. Do we sell off? You know, I think everybody would be very happy to just keep their hands off the mouse. And I don't mean us, me and you. I mean them, the big guys, the institutions, whoever. They got a good deal to go home to the weekend. And so I think that's the deal. Somebody just typed in no sound. Is there anyone else that doesn't have sound? Kerry says he has no sound. Tell me you can hear me, guys. Okay, here. All right, thanks. Okay, yeah, Kerry, must be something on your end. Maybe try logging back in to the webinar. And, oh, now you got it, Kerry? Okay. Alrighty. So, one thing I talked the other day, I told the glass desk story. And then as I was driving in traffic, I got to thinking about that. And in my head, there was a sound of arrogance or pompousness, because I told the story of how I had always been a man with many, you know, deep dark secrets, and it was my nature, if you wanted to go the whole Scorpio route, you know, that's what we're supposed to be. We make great CIA hitmen and that kind of stuff. But that a turning point in my life where I decided to just kind of come clean with everything, you know, and everybody, and how I really enjoyed living my life as an open book. It was just so, there was no pressure, and it was better. And as a symbolic gesture, I bought a glass desk, a big glass desk, a fancy, ostentatious glass desk that had no drawers, so that when someone would come into me to talk or for counseling or for business meeting, they would see I had nothing to hide, right? So I told you that story, and I meant to tell it in a good way, but then I thought about how I told it, and I was like, you know, that may not have went over so well. Somebody might have thought, oh yeah, isn't he perfect? And I didn't mean it that way at all. I was just talking about a specific instance, a time in my life. I don't have, well, actually, that desk is now part of the altar setup at a church in downtown Phoenix with fancy flowers on it. It's no longer the same symbolism. It's different. But I don't want anyone to think that I was trying to say that I finally figured it all out. I finally arrived. I no longer had any issues, no longer kept any secrets, no longer got you know, tripped up in things that had tripped me up before in my life, because that is not what I meant. Boy, I'm glad I said that. Because right now, I'm sitting behind a very nice mahogany desk. It's got a lot of drawers. There's a lot of stuff in the drawers. And, well, let's just leave it at that. Okay? Back to a wooden desk. Got drawers. Got stuff in the drawers. Okay? So, I'm just another guy trying to figure out this thing called life, just like you. Nothing more than that. So please, if anyone heard me tell that story the other day and thought it was some kind of high and mighty from the pulpit kind of a... No, it wasn't. It wasn't. I am really proud of that point in my life where I came totally clean and had an open book. But then the human nature seeps in. And you have to... You have to constantly be taking out the trash. I'm going to say that again. You have to constantly be taking out the trash. You can't just take out the trash once and then live a clean life the rest of your life. You have to daily take out the trash. All right? So, we'll move on. Last night in the partners meeting, we had a great meeting, as we always do. If you're not a partner, I encourage you to consider being a partner. The first step to being a partner is to take advantage of our free trial. You do that by going to cfrn.net/iPad. iPad? Yes. Because if you take our free trial this month, you will be entered to win an iPad 2. Now, we're giving it away at the end of the month, so not a lot of time. Take the free trial. You don't need a credit card. It's a full 5 days. You're not just in a live trading environment with Michael and myself and Bert for 2 hours a day, 5 days a week. You also get the platform, you get the simulator, and you get live data feed for every futures market. Lumber, E-minis, cotton, corn, gold, silver, palladium, you name it. If it's a futures market, you've got access to the live data. Okay? That's all part of the free trial. And this month, if you take the free trial, you'll be entered to win a brand new iPad 2. So, cfrn.net/iPad. If you've already taken the free trial, refer someone. Have them put your name in the referral box, and you'll be entered to win as well. You'll be entered as many times as you refer somebody to take the free trial. That's a pretty good deal. That's an incentive. That's what we call it. Now, last night in the live trading room, we were here in this area. We broke out above, let me show it to you, over here. It's more dramatic. There's a huge bar. When the Asian markets opened, look what happened. This candle ran from 1235 to 1243. Okay, that's an 8-point candle. Now, this candle represents 10,000 contracts. You see this little bitty candle right here? That's also 10,000 contracts. Every candle on this chart represents 10,000 contracts. So you're going, well, wait a minute. How could just 10,000 contracts move the market a full 8 points? And then the next 10 took it another 4 points. How did 20,000 contracts move the market 12 points? Well, we talked about that on the overnight on the Globex. Light volume can, in fact, move the market a great distance. Because look right here. 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, 10, 20, 130, 40, that 50,000 contracts in a 1-point range. Now let's go 10, 20 contract, 20,000, we move 12 points. 10, 20, 30, 40,000 contracts, we move 12 points back down. 10, 20, 30, 1,000 contracts, we move 12 points back up. the talk I was having about trading on Globex, you got to be careful, make sure you watch your stops, the market can have wide swings, all of that, this is a really good example. I don't know what news was out on the Asian Open, what caused this ruckus, why there was no resistance here, why it was able to just flow back to the, but it did go from zone to zone to zone back to the zone. Will I be posting a chart of that tonight? Probably. Okay. Now, what I did, and people were saying, well, okay, we got to looking at, well, do you have a tweet for tonight? And I go, you know, when this had happened, I go, I really don't. But then once we got here, I said, okay, if I were going to tweet, I would go out a couple points above this zone and just look to buy on a stop to see if we could get to the next zone. And from 52 up to the next zone at 61, that would have been a 9-point move. Correct? I don't have Michael here to do the math for me, but I think that's right. Did I get that right? 61? Yeah. Okay. So that was that move. Now, what does that look like on an hourly chart? Let me show you. Right here. I don't have that on there. Put it. 61, 62. So anyone that was in the partners meeting last night that wanted to trade on the overnight, that was looking for something to work with, I gave them a pretty good idea, and it did turn into something that was definitely tradable. So that's just another benefit of being in there. Those are the things, and not only did I share what it was, but why it was, my reasoning behind it. See, it's not about us just handing you some indicators, telling you how they work, and then wishing you well. Our goal is to actually teach you how to trade. That's what makes it different. That's what makes it a community. And so, again, the first step, take the free trial. After 5 days, if we're not your cup of tea, no hard feelings, you can still come hang out with us on the radio each and every day. Now, I did say that I was going to go shortly to David Williams today. We discussed that yesterday because I've got to do a wedding this afternoon up on the side of the mountain overlooking America's largest amusement park, and it looks like it's going to rain. I have no control over the rain part, but I do have a bunch of other things that I have to do between now and then. So I'm going to bring David on, and we're going to do some market chat, and then we're going to wrap this show up today earlier than normal. So stand by for a short station identification, and we'll go to David Williams at PageTrader.com.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll free 1-866-928-3310. And we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310. You're listening to CFRN.
Good morning, Dwayne.
Hey, good morning, David. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
You know, it's really hard to get good help these days.
It is.
So that was me hitting the wrong button there on the intro. So.
I know.
I'm
well,
speaking of myself.
It's fine. Today's a semi for many traders. They're taking today off. We've had a big move up in the market, and we're very quiet since then.
Yes.
But I think many people are taking the three-day vacation, holiday, Veterans Day holiday vacation. So hard to turn down a three-day holiday, right?
Yeah, and, you know, the fact that probably the big wigs on Wall Street, whoever they are, the guys that pull the strings and run your stops. You know who I mean.
Yeah.
They're up in the Hamptons with the family, as mm-hmm. God intended it to be. But those wild and crazy kids over in Europe, man, they're trading like there's no tomorrow. I don't know if you heard me throw out the numbers at the beginning, but the German DAX is up 3.3%.
Yes.
The French
yes.
CAC, 2.7%. The FTSE, which I'm not a foreign trader guy, but the FTSE mm-hmm. is the Italian thing, and they're the ones who've had the most recent troubles, correct,
mm-hmm.
with their bonds
sure.
and whatnot. That's up 3.6%. That's kind of a lot for an index. So mm-hmm. does that mean, you know, troubles are over, no happy days? I don't even know why they're up. I assume some news came out overnight that created this, but I'm not a news junkie. Do you know, David? Is there...
No, I don't. I'm not a news junkie either, but no matter what markets are, they move back and forth. They don't go in one direction forever, including the Italian market with all their bad news and everything else that's going on over there. The market's going to have powerful counter-trend rallies, and that's essentially what this is in our market right now until the market shows us otherwise. This is a counter-trend rally. So, you know, I'm not surprised really by the Italian market, but like I say, I would expect it to have some type of reversal at some point and some snapback rally kind of. That's what you see quite often, no matter where the market really wants to go. We had mentioned on your program yesterday that the November 10th for the S&P would be a bottom, but that our preference would have been to see the market get down to 1211 to 1212. It wasn't an outright forecast, of course, for that, but we would have liked to have seen that completed. But and then we would like to see them close well and then start the move up. And they did that. They did the move up without ever touching 1211 or 1212. So, you know, we're kind of inside a range here off of that larger weekly top right now. You have to remember that a few days back when we had this big decline, the November 9th decline, that decline all occurred in one trading session. It was a really big day down.
Right,
they made
here.
A lot of news about it.
That's
but
it.
All it really is, if you look at a weekly chart, we're just in, this is an inside week that we're putting together right now. If the
yep.
week closes anywhere where we are right now, we didn't even take out last week's low. So they made all this noise about the big decline in the market, and certainly it's a big decline in the market for one day. Had it happened over 3 days, it wouldn't have been a big deal. It happened in one day, but the net of it is that we're still well inside the weekly last week's range.
And
so this
now,
is really an inside week.
And we're now,
go ahead.
Now positive on the week with today's
yes,
move.
We're now positive on the week. I've mentioned on your program that I remain longer term, putting today aside and putting the November 10th bottom aside that we talked about. We're longer term bullish. We're not expecting right now, we don't have any indications for a very, very large decline that would take us down to 400 on the S&P and some of the things that we've talked about and heard from other sources. As a matter of fact, we're bullish in the sense that the bottom that we put in on the monthly chart just last month, really the forecast was for September. It came 1 month late in October. That bottom, we may not see that bottom broken for more than a year. So that's the kind of bullishness that we potentially have here. So I'm trying to make that point. It's not an outright forecast for that, but just saying that how important that bottom is to us. So we're going to, if you take a look at the bigger charts, and if you were to take, say, a monthly chart and just think of it as an hourly chart, because you tend to make a different viewpoint when you know that it's bigger time frames,
yeah.
Just look at the monthly chart as if you're looking at an hourly chart. And it's a very bullish looking setup. I mean, not using any, you know, advanced way of thinking about markets, just looking at it as a trend, it's a very powerful uptrend, and we're going to be seeing higher prices. So in spite of the weekly top and all the other stuff, in spite of any declines we have here, I think we're going to be seeing higher prices into next year. And of course, seasonally, next year, we do have seasonal tendencies that would lean on the bullish side of the market. They've thrown every bit of bad news. I mean, Satan rules the earth right now, and they can't take the market down. Think about that. I mean, it's all bad news. There is no good news.
What you just said, I don't know if you meant it from a biblical perspective, which it's true, or if you just meant it in sort of a, you know, being funny kind of a way. It's
no.
True. It's true in both ways. I mean,
I know.
I don't know, you know, if you were leaning in any particular. Anyway, I guess I should just let you make your point. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. I meant it in the both the biblical sense, and it's just a play on words to a certain extent that the news has been so bad. There's been so much bad news. The economy, the housing, the rioting, it just doesn't end. All the regular crime that's there as well, and it's just been all bad news. So my point is that, you know, Satan is running everything right now. There's no good news at all.
Yes.
And I know biblically that, you know, that's a Christian principle that Satan rules the world. And
the
market is rallying.
Here's a monthly, David.
Yeah. Exactly. So you can see we've had a I would need to have more than that, you know, if you could squish in the whole thing all the way back from the lows that we made at 666.
No, I can't because I don't have a continuous chart on this platform.
Okay.
And you don't do continuous charts. What do you use?
No, I do. I do. I have a continuous chart here. As a matter of fact, I mean, if you wanted to, we could switch over to
yeah, if you'd like, then sure.
You know, over here just for a moment. But the idea is that the chart itself that I'm talking about is just if a person were to look at it, he would give me just one moment here.
Sure.
Let me take care of one thing here. I wanted to see something else while I'm talking to you here. So give me one quick little second. Okay. So tell me if you can see this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this is a monthly chart of the S&P. I'll blow it up real big here so you can see it. If you were thinking of this chart simply as a hourly chart, that these were each one of these bars were an hourly chart, I mean, it's very obvious that, you know, we're in an uptrend.
Mm-hmm.
The market has pulled back, hasn't done anything terrible on the downside. And if you were to flip to a weekly chart, you could see that not only you know, of course, we had this weekly top here, but, you know, this week right here represents the entire decline, including a couple days ago when we had the big crash. That's all inside this week. It's not even able to break the old, you know, the weekly high or the bottom. And so that's why I'm saying, and here's the daily chart of this, that this is that day. Had that day occurred, you know, something like this, you know, had it occurred something like a one, a two, and a three down, it wouldn't have been that such a big deal. But the fact is that it happened all in one day, and that means to the news, and it's good to report it, obviously. We had a big down day, but it's all inside all of this stuff. We almost look like, for those pattern recognition type of people, this is early of kind of a wedging formation.
Mm-hmm.
There, some of your listeners will know what that means. I don't, in terms of being in a current uptrend. And what that means to us, you know, in that particular methodology, you know, are we going to go higher? Do we break out of that? What does that all mean? I don't know. Maybe one of your listeners.
The only thing I know of that is that whichever side you break out of, that's the direction you're going to go. Now, if somebody who has a deeper working knowledge of pattern recognition wants to add something to that, by all means, please do.
Right.
Welcome your comments.
And then today, in as long as we've got the chart up here, I messaged out to our institutional people that 64 to 66 would be the next important resistance and selling territory for today's session. Now, today is really kind, even though it's really up big, it's kind of a holiday session, and the market is really trading quietly now after that first move up. But 64 is a square in our work, and you can see again that take today's high, and if you go and look to your left, there's nothing really here mm-hmm. of importance. This, of course, is not a Globex chart. We don't utilize Globex, so
David, that chart makes a great example of, if you can hold that chart for just a moment,
Yeah.
Look at the huge gap down and the huge gap up. And we were just talking yesterday or one day this week about how, you know, and we've talked about it a lot, really, the global economy and how, you know, Wall Street has always been the engine that drove the world's economy. Mm-hmm. And just this here should make people go, wow, that's a lot of movement on that Globex session.
Okay. There's now, tons of movement.
Now, I also pointed out that a lot of that movement last night was on extremely light volume.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes
that
it a little tricky.
Go ahead.
You know, that makes it a little tricky.
Yeah, the thing about, you know, oh, I don't want to go long because it's the breakout was on light volume, those days are gone. Because you can have breakouts on big volume that don't go, light volume breakouts that do go. You know, you have to look at it technically if you are a technical trader, and volume is a technical function. But I've never been a real fan of, you know, saying that because the volume wasn't there that it takes the meaning away from the total move that potentially could happen.
Now,
I've heard that a lot, though.
Use that, David, with equities. I don't actively trade equities mm-hmm. right now. But in equity mm-hmm. trading, especially if you're dealing with a small cap stock and you
yes.
have a breakout on suspiciously light volume, that's a whole different thing than these indexes. These are these are so big and so huge and so many players. I mean, there's so many people trading this market.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, in a small cap stock, you might have 100 people worldwide
right.
that even
right.
know the company exists from a investment perspective. And
right.
So, yeah. So I agree with you. The move on the light volume in the indices and the index, I don't fly by that rule. But going back to small cap equities, I would still use that. So,
okay. No, that's fair enough. So anyway, so for today's session, it's a holiday session, at least in our mind, maybe not in others, but, you know, the market completed, there was two levels of importance for us today. The first one was 58.59, which they reached in the first bar, and we made a high of 59.50, and the second one was the 64 to 66 level. If we were to retest later, we do expect a decent decline off of the 64 to 66 test. This being a square and this being a place that is both magnetic for the market, it draws the market to the number, and then it rejects the number and sends prices down. So this is one of the places that we would want to sell short. Messenger Pro is not open today, but we did message this morning for our institutional people, some of which I think are listening on your program. I don't think they speak up or anything, but they do listen in. I've told them to come to the program time to time to remind them to listen. Yeah, and we welcome you to listen in and you know, watch this for a bit. So other than 64, I don't have a lot going on today. We're actually preparing for the seminar, which is coming up tomorrow. And let's see, I'll have to get out my suit. I'll have to get something to eat. Need some paperwork. Yeah, I can get all that stuff together. Okay, that's good. Just want to make sure I'm just trying to get my things in order. Go ahead.
During the seminar tomorrow morning, David, when the 7-foot transvestite comes through the back door with a huge pink phone
mm-hmm.
and starts walking towards Chris, please don't mm-hmm. stop him, her, because it's going to be really funny, and he's going to hand this big phone to Chris, and it's going to ring, and she's going to say, "This call's for you," and Chris is going to pick up the phone, and I'm going to go, "Yo, Chris, what's up?"
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I played that out in my head yesterday, but I couldn't find anyone in Vegas to take my orders, so that
won't happen. By the way, I
that
mentioned to Chris again.
That in my head, but I could just see your face, his face. It would be mm-hmm. funny, and then he really would call me. But anyway, I'm not moaning about that today. I just, when you have a seminar, I get a little bit excited only because I know that there's a lot of people, and they're getting excited, and you get excited, and it's a fun time, you know. People have
yeah,
a good
it's
time.
It is. It's a fun time. I'm excited to see people and to show them this technique and to let them put it to work for them right away. Many people come with their laptops, you know, and they go back to their room and they check this stuff out, and then they go home and put the stuff to work. I'm very excited for that. And also, because the volatility is so large in the market, this really makes, I think, any methodology work better. Certainly, the roadmaps, reflected wave, you know, our spatial relationship stuff in general works really well with big volatility. Traders don't necessarily trade better with big volatility. They can make more money. But I've noticed, and I've seen this before, this is not just this round, but I have seen that really big volatility really agitates traders. They get, you know, if you're a trader who gets upset over missing a move, that gets magnified by many times over if you're trading in highly volatile markets. And then the downside to you being upset by getting into that state, the downside is much worse. And it makes you act, the reaction off that makes you act poorly and makes you lose money. And so that's something that you have to be very careful with. When the volatility picks up, whatever your Achilles heel is in trading is going to be magnified because the markets are moving bigger. So that's one of the reasons that in one fell swoop, in my particular way of thinking, where I don't think about money, I don't think about bills related to trading, and I need to make an extra $1,500 so that I can, you know, cover this or cover that. I'm not thinking like that. I'm simply thinking about the high probability setups that if they show up, then I want to trade them. And it's kind of even a subtle difference. It's not that different, except that it just doesn't have the money component in there. Money, just for some reason, makes me stupid, and I think it makes a lot of traders stupid. Seriously, I really think it. I think it's one of the worst things you can have on your mind when you get up in the morning. And I know some really big traders that get up thinking about making really big money every single day. But for me, and that's really all I can talk about, and I have, of course, have spoken to lots and lots of people over the years, I think it's a problem that a lot of people have that they may not have identified for themselves. I know on the radio program we've talked about it, and the listeners have heard this before, but it's been so good for me to get out of money and to put it aside, not because the Bible says money is evil or anything like that. It's just that it isn't a it hasn't been beneficial for me to think in those terms. What it has been beneficial for me to think in terms of setups and high probability and then placing trades almost machine-like when the probabilities are in my favor and get in. And sometimes that means just buying the silly thing or selling the silly thing or whatever. And then the whole issue of when you've erased the money issue from your mind, if you can really get over it, because it's not hard to get over it. It's not a struggle to get over it. It's a struggle to get over it until you see it's bad for you, because you're not going to purposely hold on to something that's hurting you, right? You're not going to consciously hurt yourself. This is a Vernon Howard line. No man consciously hurts himself.
It's biblical. So, no man hateth his own flesh.
Right. So you're not going to do something that's going to hurt yourself, and therefore it's not going to be difficult for you to stop doing something that hurts yourself in terms of emotional. You can say, well, what about the drug dealers or the people who take drugs? And that's a whole different level, and these people are addicted to drugs, etc. And even a person who sits up and says, oh, I know I'm bad. I know I'm really bad. I hurt people and I do this and I do that. No, they really don't. They can say the words. It's like listening to a robot say the words. They know the basics of it, but they haven't actually come in contact with themselves and seen that they're hurting themselves. They might be able to say that, yeah, I'm hurting others, or they might even say, yeah, I know this isn't good for me. It hurts me. They haven't seen it. Because the principle, the law is that when you really see it, you will not have any problem stopping doing it.
Yep.
So if you really do see that the money thing is hurting you, then it doesn't take much. I guess the work is to see that it is hurting you, and if it's hurting you. I'm speaking for myself, and of course what my opinion is that other people are struggling under the money thing as well. It took me many, many years to identify that as the thing. Because everybody talks about, well, that's what this whole purpose is to make money. Why shouldn't I be thinking about money? Well, it just so works out, just so happens that if you think about money, in many cases, it makes this practically impossible to do.
Well,
and then when other things happen, I'll let you go just a second. I was just going to say this. When other things happen in the market, as an example, missing a move. Now, if you're really hooked on money, now missing a move becomes a problem, and you don't want to suffer that. So you'll do all kinds of wrong things to make sure that you're in the move so that you don't have to suffer missing the move because it really bothers you to miss it. And so all those other things you've added on, it's just you literally build a prison around yourself of wrong behavior in the markets, all to serve the god of the money idea. The money idea being that I have to make money or that I have to make sure that I don't miss a trade where I could have made money. And you build all these other things up and do all these other acts, which end up being bad things to do and cause you grief and cause you to lose money. Go ahead, Dwayne.
I just wanted to say that aside from trading, many of you in the audience may be able to relate this to other work that you have done in your life. You had some job somewhere, and maybe you still have that, I don't know, where you enjoyed your work so much. You would wake up in the morning looking forward to going to work. You might go early, you might stay late, you might skip lunch because you were working on a project and you were just like totally into it. The clock didn't matter, and the fact that you were making $8 an hour or $80 an hour wasn't even a part of the equation because you were digging it, whether you were building something or making something or creating something or helping people, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you're an artist and you just go into your studio You're making a sculpture and you don't care if that thing sells for $5 or $5,000 when you're done because, man, you are just into making that thing.
Yeah. Our friend Chris Olson, who, by the way, I told him to call you again. I don't know if he did call you.
No.
He's just, no. What a loser. Anyway, these are people I pass out to my friends. Here, use this guy. He's great. What was I going to say? He's in a band, and we used to all be in bands, when I was younger. But he's an attorney now that doesn't return phone calls. That's what he does for a living, is he doesn't return phone calls. But at night, he will still play in a band, and he doesn't even know what the band is paid because they just love all they're doing. They just want to be in front of some people and play some good music and enjoy themselves. That's all they're really doing. It has nothing to do at all with the money. I mean, maybe they make 80 bucks or 50 bucks or who knows what it is, but they couldn't care less because their eye is on the ball, and the ball is having a nice time, playing in front of people, making music. So anyway, the bottom line is if you can see the money, if you can find for yourself that the money thing's hurting you, then you won't have any real problem saying to yourself, that's not good for me. I can see that, and I'm going to just start focusing on the high probability setups. I think you'll be much better off than you will be for somebody who's really just grinding about that all day long. I've had some big trades. I've had trades where, you put a position on and the thing really runs, and you manage it better than you normally would. You take some off and it keeps running, and before you know it, you've made some, a bigger gain than you would have expected in a particular trade. And let's say it's an outstanding gain. And you go, wow, that is amazing. God, I'm amazed. I was, I booked some good money. There it is, money. But on the way into the trade, I wasn't thinking about that. It happened to work out that way. On the way out, you can think about money, but it's what you think about on the way in, the doorway into the trade. You should come in clean. And clean means you're not worrying and thinking about money. It means that you're simply thinking about the probability of the setups as you best understand them, and you work your best to put the trade on. And then if the trade doesn't work, or if they run from you without letting you in because you didn't come in with the money shadow all over you, you're not anywhere near as upset that you couldn't catch the trade. And sometimes, in many cases, you can catch a second, opportunity to get in. But on the way out, I find myself thinking about it. I mean, obviously, once the trade is over or nearly over, I can say, wow, that was, that's pretty good. Doesn't happen all the time, but, once in a while, you really get it right and you get in right and all that stuff. Yeah, you're going to think about that on the way out. And the other thing is, and I've said this before too, is try to think in terms of the end of the month, because I've noticed that if you focus too much on any given day, then you do wrong things on the day to try to make sure that that you didn't sit in front of your computer for 7 hours and get nothing, because you got to get something. And I'm not thinking that's a good way to think either. It's better to think in terms of just at the end of the month, I want to see a break even in my account, or I want to make something. That's what my goal is. And although that sounds so basic to say, well, I hope I make a break even, or I hope I can make a little money or whatever, I've got news for you that it takes quite a bit of skill to be able to break even consistently and or to make money consistently. It takes some time and it takes work, and it takes getting over some of these head trips. And the people who run around going, no, there's no psychology, just show me the trade, get me in, make me some money. I've got news for you. There is really is some psychology to this, and it really does affect how you act. There are certain basic setups that you have in your mind that you're not even necessarily aware of. One of them is about money that you just took for advantage. And all of these things exist on the thread of non-investigation. You're not thinking about your own thinking. You're not looking at yourself. You're not thinking about how you approach things. And before you know it, you're struggling with straw man problems because you're not looking at the real problem. The real problem might be that you're worried about money, thinking about money, rather than trying to worry about subsequent problems that are caused by that problem. That was my issue. I was working with other areas that were beyond, the money thing was already there. I took that for granted, not even knowing it, and I was working on solving other problems when I suddenly realized, wait a minute, the root of these problems is my whole thing about money. And that was really, it was a big insight for me. It wasn't a small thing. I'm relaying it to you in words that sort of belie how big of a thing it was for me and how much everything else bounced off of that initial thing that I had not investigated my own thinking. And so it's been good for me. And I hope that's useful for people to take a look at it in their own trading and get past that. So
now, I want everyone to understand that, and what we just said and what David said really well about this approach, we understand that ultimately you need to pay your mortgage and put gas in your car and feed your family and hopefully send your kids to college someday. Yeah, that's part of the equation. Okay, and so how you as an individual reconcile all that and work that out, because you really do need to be able to do what David suggested. Now, if you have a bunch of money in the bank, okay, and you don't have to worry about the mortgage or gas in the car or food on the table or the kids going to, if you don't have to, it makes what he just said a lot easier. If those are real things in your real life, in your real world, then separating the two is going to be more difficult for you, but you still need to figure out how to do it.
Yeah, I don't like the idea of somebody, stopping their job.
No.
And I would never do this. Never. I would never tell people this. And I said to somebody the other night, I was over at the health club, and I was talking to somebody, and they said, well, what do you do? And, I just said, well, I'm in investments and things like that. Oh, yeah, and everyone would say, oh, my brother-in-law, trades or, buys and sells stocks and things like this. And I always say to people, I would never suggest to anybody to do this. I only encourage people who already are doing this. I don't try to get somebody who isn't into this, because, especially when I'm talking to them in person, because it's hard to do. It's not something that everybody can do. It takes practice, and it's almost got a little bit of a carnival game thing to it. It looks easier than it is. And so only people that are really already interested in this, I'll talk with them, and I'll encourage them, and I'll work with them, and et cetera. But I wouldn't tell an ordinary person to quit their job, obviously, and come to trade. Not because it's not possible, but because it's harder and it's got more subtleties to it than appears on the surface. If somebody says to you, you really ought to become a brain surgeon and consider working on people's brains, I can tell you right away that I'm going to say, well, gosh, that seems really complicated, and I've got to go to school a lot, takes many years of practice. Maybe I won't go down that route. But if somebody comes to you and says, well, you really ought to, day trade or buy in the markets and stuff, that sounds for some reason a lot easier, and yet it has its nuances, it has its complexities, and it took me many years. I've said this before, it took me many years to get to the point where I knew what I was doing in the markets. Not what I was doing because other people told me, but what really was meaningful to me in the markets. And so I don't like I said, I wouldn't tell somebody to do this for a living. And if you do, even if you don't have money in the bank and you're practicing this, practice it with a small amount of money and, get your skill level up. There's always people out there, to be honest with you, if you had a small amount of money and you developed your skill to some point, believe me, there's no shortage of people who would be happy to share the results and give you some money to trade. I think we've all, I don't know if we've all been through it, but I certainly have been through it on a number of occasions, where people will say, no, no, please, you know, I've got this money here, trade it for me and whatever. And I went through the whole period where I was doing that for a while. And you're allowed to trade for friends. You know, the CFTC, Commodity Futures Trading Commission, they'll allow you to trade for up to 15 friends and relatives, that sort of thing. But you can't hold yourself out as a commodity trading advisor to the public. That means present yourself as a commodity trading advisor to the public. You can do it for some friends. And I went through a period in the 90s where I was doing that, where you know take some money. And that is one way that you can build up your you can get some money, because you can make any deal that you want with these people. I've had deals where I've split the profits 50-50, those types of things. Go ahead, Wayne.
I just want to say, because I want to make sure people get this. If you have talent, if you have skill, if you have money is not the issue. Okay, I know we're in a bad economy and people can't find jobs and all of that. That's very real. But there's no shortage of money in the world. Okay, the money that got printed up and the money that just existed electronically, some of the electronically generated money, yeah, okay, in theory it's gone. But there's still lots of people who have money. And what David is saying is so very true. If you can just get your skill level up to where you're able to generate profits in the market, and I'm not talking about you can knock down 5-10 points a day. I'm not talking about that. If you can consistently do something, there will be an endless. You might have one person that comes, and if you can really do the deal, he's going to tell somebody, and they're going to tell somebody, and pretty soon you're dealing with 15. You're no longer you're maxed out. The CFTC says you can only have. I mean, trust me. A lot of people go, man, if I could just get the money together, get your skill level together. That's really the key, and the money will come.
Not just from the markets, but
man, people will throw money at you.
Right. Well, it sometimes hurts if they throw it in coins. I've seen that before. I said, throw the bills, please. God, that quarter really hurt right here.
Now, you've got to make sure that you're in a place. You're in a place where you're ready, mentally, to actually rise to this challenge. Okay. Because suddenly you're trading other people's money. Now, for David, that worked out well. It made him very cautious with the MARTA story. We don't have time for that today, but he's told it before, and he can tell it again. That was really a great experience for him. My experience, I had just barely started trading futures, and I was doing well, and I mentioned it to a couple people, and they threw money at me. And suddenly, when I fired up my platform, I was not this carefree individual who was trading and having a good time, because I did have some money in the bank, and it wasn't how I was making my living at the moment. It was just like an extra income. But now suddenly it was a job. It was there was this pressure. I was under this microscope. I'd have four people at the end of the day calling me, emailing me. Goodness, two of the people even worked for me in my company. I'd see them peeping, you know, into my office trying to see my screen to see if I had made them some money yet today. Oh, I crashed and burned. I said, I just put the brakes and said, hey, take your money back. I can't do this. But again, I had only been trading futures at that point a few months. So if you're a few months into it, I'm going to suggest that you work on your skill level for a while. Make sure you can manage your own money well and trade your own money well, and just have that comfort, that knowledge that there's a basket load of money out there waiting to be traded when you're ready.
Yeah, there it is. There's no problem. If you can develop your skill, even if you don't have money, there's people who will want to give you money. Even if you can only make, you know, a few percentage points a month, don't worry about what the number is. If you can do a little bit, and people are willing to do that. And I want to be honest with you. I have lost some people's money. Some people gave me money in the 90s, and I made attempts to trade with their money, and in several cases lost their money. Mm-hmm. Not all of it, but enough where I decided, and I said, listen, I don't want to go any further. Usually in this type of thing, if you lose about half of what they give you, it's probably a good idea not to lose the other half. And because then they really will be throwing things that feel like money at you, but it's probably rocks or something. But in all seriousness, I went through a period where I just wasn't trading. Well, I hadn't, you know, hadn't seasoned myself or whatever you want to call it. And so you go through a period and you have to learn how to deal with that, and that will also wake you up to certain things. And the MARTA story, you know, really was a big change for me, like we talked about. And I'll repeat that story some other time because we don't have time today. But in the end, you find out who you are in the markets. You learn a lot about yourself and what works for you. Everybody has a little different thing. And you go in and you're able to do it. And after a while, it becomes a great pleasure to wait around for these great setups to come. Because there's nothing else that I know of that it gives you in other than commodities, futures, stocks, Forex. It gives you good, high-probability investment opportunities one after another. Even if you don't trade today, there's going to be one tomorrow. You know, like as an example, if you thought of the roadmap, our particular approach, you know, we don't always have a roadmap every day, but if, you know, if we wait till tomorrow, we'll probably have one tomorrow. And those roadmaps can be really, really great setups for trades. They're one of my high-probability setups, as is a one-unit late reflected wave top or bottom. And, you know, these types of setups can really put the odds in your favor, and before you know it, you can make some money from that. So, anyway, is that the world's largest amusement park?
This is where I'm doing the wedding today. It's overcast, okay. And it might rain, so it's a little dicey, but, yeah, you can't see back here where we'll be standing, but as the bride comes down the thing, and it's like walking into eternity, into forever. They had her walking the other way up into the mountain, and I got there yesterday, luckily in enough time to salvage this whole deal. But you can't really see it in this picture because my iPhone doesn't zoom. But right there is downtown Phoenix. Kind of looks like the Emerald City in the Wizard of Oz picture. But it's just beautiful, this vista. It's a great place for a wedding, and it's free because it's at South Mountain Park, the world's largest city park, and or America's largest city park. And you just have to reserve it, and it's a huge area with these buildings and tables, and it's free because it's owned by the city. So.
Well, there you go. Well, Duane, I know you have to run. I could go on, and you could just go, and I would just talk my head off here. But
well, there's a couple questions, and I do have a couple minutes, and so I don't want to slight the questions.
We could cover the other markets real briefly if you wanted to as well.
Let's see if there were some comments. Dave has to be praised about the euro. If it breaks 36.50, it would go to 37.90. I put this trade up yesterday, guys, based on the breakout, the buy stop, sell stop. I said it's either going to go one way or the other. From this zone, it's either going to go here or here. The buy got triggered on the overnight, and we went right to that zone. And that tied in. This is one of the instances where our stuff lines right up with David's stuff. And so you should have... For those of you who have access to both, I mean, that's just a tremendous thing. And I'm not trying to...
Who is it that said that? Because anytime somebody praises me, I need to make a list of those people. Charles. Thank you, Charles. I appreciate that. I actually forgot about that one. This is because the euro had the November 9th bottom, which occurred one trading day late yesterday. And so that's what set that up. This is basically a... daily bottom, and the market advanced to these numbers. I hope he got something out of that. And Duane, you'll see this from time to time where two different types of methodologies might come up with the same thing. But I said it first.
It's
got to be a competition. You just have to, you know, you've got to throw that in there.
Another question from Charles. Does David expect 64 later today and then a decline? That's an ES question.
Is that for the ES?
Mm-hmm.
Is he asking me, do I expect 64 later today?
We've already
because we're at 63 right now. We did 64. We had sent out earlier today because we're closed basically. I'm just helping Duane out because without me on the radio program, it'd be pretty boring and flat. I think everybody would agree with that. Kind of slow, dull. You'd be listening to silly music and stuff he would play, that kind of thing. So I decided to come on.
He means 64.66 again later today.
Oh, I don't have a direct forecast for whether or not we're going to see those numbers again. As a matter of fact, I really don't have much of my stuff up and running. I do have the markets in front of me, but I just was putting that out there earlier to let people know that, let our institutional guys know that that's what we were expecting, is that basically the whole thing was, is if 60, we expected 64 or 66 to get hit, and then that would be selling territory. And it's gone down a little bit. It's no big deal. You know, we've had a few points decline here, but this is a holiday market. Yeah. You know, this is just, that's all it really is. So,
if this market,
I'm sorry, I don't have anything else.
Can close right here, I think they, you know, the big boys, the ones that run your stops and all that, mm-hmm. if the market can just, it doesn't have to go any higher, if it can just close in this area, they go home for the weekend, or they turn on the news from the Hamptons and they're very happy.
Right. Well, I did mention the other day for Charles or anybody who's interested that gold is the next important date for gold is the 14th. Remember, the week of the 14th is the next important daily or weekly top, mm-hmm. and then we have also a daily top on the 14th. But I want to throw in a caveat, and I did, that as long as we haven't broken out above the recent high, the November 8th high, mm-hmm. then we will we'll use that top. If we do break out going into the week, then we might use that top less aggressively. We may not bother with the top, especially if there's a gap, because this is more roadmappy stuff, and there's some stuff with gaps and other things that play into that. So that's one thing, and then we already did, the euro already had its move up, like we talked about. Watch next week on gold for the top, really most of the stuff today is just up. We've had a pretty nice day. You know, the markets have had a pretty nice day. Crude is continuing to advance. We've seen a lot of action here. So.
Okay, I don't think there's anything else in here. Well, Richard, because you're so nice, I'm just going to put what you wrote, and then we'll close out the show. Triangle patterns supposedly occur in a wave 4 of an Elliott wave pattern. Looks like wave D could be completing at this 1264 level, which means wave E would come down to the bottom of the trend line. After this would be a wave 5 thrust up to new highs. Now, Richard, what time frame do you put that together on?
Any time frame. It's true in any time frame. That fourth wave thing that he's talking about.
Okay.
Unless I'm missing your question. Yeah, it's just fourth waves will sometimes do the wedge down triangle pattern, and then there's a thrust into the fifth wave.
Okay.
In fact, Richard, go ahead and answer it if I didn't answer it correctly, but...
Sounds like you know what you're talking about. I know very little about that methodology.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he may be typing. You had the chart up earlier. Oh, that would. All I had up was just a 1 hour. Oh, I guess he was talking about this triangle here. Okay, yeah. This is an hourly chart that I'm sitting on. And so what is he saying that could potentially happen here, David?
Well, just that this is a, he's essentially saying that, yeah, on a big, that's a really, really big version of it. That's not yet really, is that a daily chart? What is that?
That's hourly with Globex.
Yeah. Just essentially that once the market has gotten through with that third wave thrust, which in Elliott wave, the third wave is often the really big move. Will often happen in the third wave. There's extensions of other waves that can happen, but in Elliott, the third wave is the common part. After the second wave bottom, the third wave up is where a great majority of...
Okay, is that wave 1 and is that wave 2?
You know, I got news for you.
And
if you're going to get into
3?
Counting Elliott waves...
I don't know. I'm just...
Yeah.
I really don't.
Let's save that subject for another day, since
Alan,
you have no
Alan
time.
Alan said he was doing it off, that he thought he was doing it off the daily.
Yeah,
and
that's
Richard
what I think he's doing it off as well. That's why I was confused
David.
By that.
Okay, all right.
Thank you, Alan. It's okay. Dwayne is, it's not a, the Elliott wave is a complicated subject, and it's very subjective, and has a lot of different things going on in it. But essentially, that third wave up after it gets done, then there's a fourth wave consolidation, and people are looking for that to consolidate in one of many ways. There's a bunch of different things a fourth wave can do, one of which is to do that triangle type of movement that we talked about, where it sort of wedges down and then would break out and complete a fifth wave up. And that fifth wave is often where the computer guys that do Elliott wave stuff, they'll find that you will get a divergence on a number of different indicators in the completion of that fifth wave. The indicator will diverge, although price is making a new high. And that's one of the methods that the computerized people using, you know, computerizing Elliott wave will use to get people short on a fifth wave thrust that then diverges. I'd be very careful utilizing divergence, because a market can diverge many, many times before it finally does the big move. And then people go, oh, well, look at that divergence. You know, but it can diverge over and over again, and it can look like it's diverging and then fix it, and now it's not diverging. But it looked to you like it was diverging because you got in at the point that it looked like divergence. You know, you've all been through that if you've seen that. Divergence is a very tricky method, and in a way, it's one of those indicator-based methods that can erase right in front of you the false ones. The false signals kind of get erased, and you can't see them anymore because the move, the what looked like divergence, it now ends up looking like one that isn't divergence, and you might say, well, we wouldn't have counted that as a trade, and so, you know, that one, if we're trying to test the, you know, system, and it doesn't look like divergence anymore. So you see what I'm saying? It kind of erases the bad ones, and it looks like it always works. So you have to be careful. There's a lot of little tricky things. This has to do with any kind of system. You know, there's all kinds of things that can happen in testing it and trying to find stuff that really does work out.
You know, David, so, use an old term, I got a skedaddle.
Yes, I'm aware of that term.
Hey, good luck with the seminar this weekend. I know you guys will have a lot of fun. A lot of people will be enlightened, and they'll just, you know, enjoy themselves. You'll get to see what great posture this man truly has.
Oh, that's just great. Yeah, I don't have that posture as good as when people are running after me with shovels and ice and picks, you know, down the hallway of the Mirage Hotel. But, no, I'm hoping to give it my very best. And for those of you who are on the radio, if you're not already traveling, I'm looking forward to meeting you, and we're going to have a great time, and you're going to learn a really amazing methodology. So, I'm looking forward to it. I'll see you there tomorrow. Dwayne, I'll see you on Monday.
And you know what, guys, contrary to what you've heard from other people, the cavity search is not that bad.
It isn't, no.
All right.
And there's pretty girls there, too.
There are. So. And great food.
And great food. All right. Thank you so much, Dwayne. Thanks for having me on. We'll talk to everybody on Monday. And everyone else, have a great weekend. And I'll talk with you on Monday. And see the Reflected Wave people tomorrow.
Happy Veterans Day, Dave.
All right. Thank you, too, Dwayne.
I didn't notice what time it was. All I know is that I fell in love with you. And if all my dreams come true, I'll be spending time with you. Every day's a new day in love with you.
With okay, to any veterans that we have in this audience, my goodness. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your service to our country. I hope you have a wonderful day. I hope somebody takes you out for a nice dinner or something. I hope somebody really lets you know, more than just words from this disembodied voice over the radio, that we appreciate you. I'm just going to tell you, America appreciates you. For the rest of you, it is the weekend. You know what your marching orders are. Spend quality time with your family. You've been up in these markets all week long. You've been looking at charts, and you've been drawing this and pulling that. And you know what? It's the weekend. Make sure you spend quality time with your family. I will see you all in church on Sunday, right? Okay. Thank you for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this. There is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard, and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a one-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions.